reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Well, I spent most of my time speaking about cancer and the two deadly diseases, cancer and, David. David, can you help me with my own mind? My brain just froze for me just now. All right, you're not there. I just wanted cancer and what? What was my problem? Diabetes. It came to me. Yes, too many buttons here. And so I'd like to talk to you about cancer. And maybe the diabetes some other time. But I wrote an article many years ago, about 40 years ago. I've been hearing the same old line, in that cancer patients can think themselves into a stronger immune system. That is true to some degree, but it's got to be altered, just bits and pieces here. Or an immune system using relaxation and guided imagery techniques, that can be dangerous, okay? Because it becomes hypnotic. And hypnosis is the sickness that you have, you see. In other words, you don't know. You don't know yourself. Who said it? Know thyself. Oh, you can say yourself, I know myself. No, you don't. It's the other self that says you know yourself. And you don't want to believe that. Because if your real self, if you weren't infected the day you came into the world with sin, which takes away your immunity to temptation and pressure, which means you're basically in a hypnotic state. Almost the day you come into the world comes into you. And mostly through your mother, through the failing of your father. Always. The failing of the father. Never the mother. Always the failing of the father to say to Eve, put the fruit down, you're not the boss. And speak to her with authority that he is found in his search for purpose. Now that's not possible, impossible, once you're married and see how you're giving power to your wife and how emboldened is she. She gets angrier and angrier. She gets angry when you get angry when you want something from her that's not good for her to give, at least, you know, because of your purpose, your attitude is impure. You want the feeling. You want the love to fill the emptiness of being lost the day you were born. Women come into the world different. They slip in through the mother. And the mother is Eve. And if Eve has not been loved properly, she's just been used for her man's pleasure, then the mischief begins. She gives birth to a child that is an Eve, and maybe a good one, that wants love, but there is no love. Because the father does not love her mother, doesn't love her, because he doesn't love the mother. Because why I say that is because he uses her for self-gratification and a sense of worthless worth. And by loving what's in her, instead of loving the hell out of her, you're embracing the hell in her that she doesn't know she has. All of a sudden, anger rises towards the husband. And then she becomes guilty. And when she becomes guilty because it's not good to service the pleasure of a man. In other words, you've got to be careful what kind of man you have for a husband. A woman needs to wait, as well as a man wait for a woman, and not jump into bed as is common these days, that's no morality. And therefore, hell or breaks loose. We need to understand the old-fashioned ways of doing it, but more so with yours truly helping. So I'm asking now, we're going to take out calls in a few minutes. If you'd want to call me, 800-866-8883. And I'm trying to get to the subject of cancer, but it's a little bit awkward to approach it. Yeah, but I will. So stay tuned. Thank you.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Good evening again. Let me continue my subject. I do hope you listened to the opening about Adam and Eve, meaning every woman is Eve and every man is an Adam, a failed man. And others does not have the authority to love the hell out of a woman. I've made that point many times. A woman, real woman, wants a real man. What makes a real man, just for the sake of you just joining me, and I'm talking about cancer, I'm getting there. It's a beautiful, simple thing, but it takes a while to get there. There's lots of things you do to bring it on. And that those lots of things us call sin, or becoming subject to hypnotic states of excitement. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. I'll make everything clear. Bear with me. And so I'm starting with cancer. And I show you how, when you get married, what you marry is Eve. Eve needed, look, go back far back into that story. She needed her husband, if you like. She needed him, the man, to say, put the fruit down. God ordered Adam, say, "You listen, here's your choice. You can love me or be me, to matter of speaking, or play me. Here's the knowledge of, here's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." It represented that. It could be anything. It could be any kind of tree. It was that tree. Just because he said that tree, that's it. That's authority. That's magic. So a tree becomes automatically a power. It's also a little boy looking at the little night table on his dad's side of his dad's bed, excuse me. He feels a pull to take, you know, a quarter, whether it is because he wants to get a toy, and his mother said no and dad said no. So something says, if you have that toy, if you have that money, your dad doesn't know. So the pull takes it. There's a pull there. And when he's pulled into something, he can't get out. And dad says, did you take that quarter? No, dad, Donnie made me do it. Something. You all do the same thing. How many of you make excuses? Bingo. What is an excuse? Something acted through you and gave you an excuse and makes you feel right about it and make your dad look like the bad guy. Karl Marx, Russian. He says, accuse others of what you do. That's what happens. You feel like your dad just accused you of something See? And then you start to resent your dad. See? Because you feel uncomfortable, so you blame him. But the thing gives you an excuse. So you lose the blame for a little bit. And so what I'm saying is, it's there from the very beginning. And so I don't want to veer away too much from what I'm trying to get. But there is something that began with Eve because of the first man's failing. It lost his authority. He listened to the voice of his wife. Because you have hearkened unto your wife, dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. And see, and therefore so shall a man leave his mother and be born of his mother and father and join the woman to become one flesh. That is upside down. The whole human race is upside down, where women are the objects of love and glory. And there's the pull of that. Not only the sexual pull is one thing, but there's something within the sexual pull beyond it that that entangles you if you are in some way improprietous, meaning you don't know how to, you think that what you're looking at is the answer to your completeness. Isn't she wonderful? Yes, she is. She just makes you feel wonderful. So does a dope addict. And what does a dope addict do? It will take you apart a little bit at the time. A little bit more money, and you feel better, but then it encourages you to be worse. And the worse you get, the more painful it is, the more you want. And the more you got to give to get what you want. Now, put this in line with cancer. Put this in the line to everything where you lose all your money by putting your faith in somebody that makes you feel better than you deserve. Like the president himself. He did that to you. See, you put him on a pedestal and you gave you a sense of worth that is worthless. And you can become addicted to it. You can even give him a second chance. While a decent person just elected, you see, all of a sudden you have breath of fresh air. And if that's the case, look at what's happening. Look how demoralized we are. Look how much we're divided, because there's so many people who are suckers, see, and the suckies. And the sucky is paradise lost. The sucky is government, the left wing of the government, but there's also now you find it's the right wing as well. So they're both wrong. They're both sucking on you. They're working together. Another entity is involved to bring this country down that's evil. And understanding to get you to depart from virtue or twist what virtue is as Christianity. I would bring you back to that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm not rehearsed in saying this, but I'm telling you that if you fall in love with a woman, ladies, don't be upset with me. Just give me a call, 800-866-8883, at 6 p.m. weekdays to 8 p.m. Thank you very much, 866-8883. So now, if you are tempted, innocently, ignorantly, call it what you like. If you have come from a family or come into a culture that this is the way it's done, which is mostly young people today and women, then you're like animals copulating in the alley. That's all there is to it. And all hell is about to break loose. And you marry it. But you're lacking something, because you just lost something to that woman. And she didn't mean it. She doesn't understand either. That's all part of the culture. You give a man what he wants and you get what you want. No, it doesn't work that way. It does for a little while. And the damned if you get it, damned if you don't, either way. And the more you have to give of yourself and say, so cancer is having your blood, your immune system sucked right out. How do you do that? Does anybody want to ask the question? I mean, you do, when you make a bad, you made a bad decision, you lose, don't you? Whether it's money or anything, it could be your soul, couldn't it? And then it becomes a thing of the mind. Would you not agree? It is a thing of the mind. But then there's something in your mind that's controlling you and causing you to give yourself up to the woman who needs you not to do that, but to save her from killing you. I mean that. She doesn't mean to kill you. She doesn't mean all that. But you'll find that she'll rise to the occasion of your need, and she can die from cancer because she can also give to the bully, the man that's the bully. And so the more he gets, the more he wants. And he feels good, but it's not the right kind of good, so therefore he has anxiety. And the anxiety is because he'd been pulled in and drawing the dark side of the force into him to crave her favor again and again, to the point where she can't anymore and runs away and tries another man and it starts all over again. Or she can't anymore and she gives of herself and gives of herself and gives of herself and gives herself in anger and she's feel guilty the more she gives, the more guilty she becomes because she's enabling the man. Enabling the man, and the man is getting hungrier and hungrier and hungrier. And they have a family. She has to put on a good face. And the good person dies from cancer because she's sucking the life out of her. See, there's something about the anger inside you. There's something about the mind that the more you give in to temptation, the more temptation gets into you and makes you sensitive to the next temptation that takes something out of you. See, in exchange for making you feel better, you get worse. And there's no cure for this. There's no cure psychologically. It is somewhat psychological. But you have to understand, these days we have instruments that show that when you have a positive thought, when it's really positive, you're calm. All of a sudden, they see changes immediately in your chemistry. Immediately, just for a moment, if you can spare those moments, if you can hold on to those moments long enough, the chemistry of your body changes, your immune system becomes recovers. But when it doesn't recover, oh, wow. When you are giving up more and more energy and getting sicker and sicker, getting angry with your own sickness and getting angry with the doctor who takes your blood out and puts some blood back in again and makes you bald and makes you go through all kinds of things, all silly, stupid things to save your life. I guarantee you none of it really saves your life. It's just some of the decent doctors that are there. It's that what does it, more so than the medicine itself. See, there's the love of, we'll talk about little children, we'll talk about that some other time, because they can also be sucked on by their mother. That's where the mother, it's not the father that sucks on him. It's the mother that loves him, loves the hell in him, sucks the life out of him, because she's so proud of him. Or her, see? And it's a codependency. She does not free the child to be true to his true self, his creator. You've lost it. The woman's lost it. Therefore, she loves the child too much. Or she rejects the child too much. That will also work. But if she loves the child, she's giving him a sense of worth his whole life in exchange for him giving servitude to mother. And this looks like a love. It's not. It's a sucking of the life force of the person and living from it and becoming dependent upon the life force of that person or child. All right, now here we are again. Now let's go to the chemistry of it. See, we have an identity crisis. See, you understand all the things I said is causing you to take the identity and feed the identity of your bully, the person that controls you, the person that appears to love you, but is sucking the life out of you and giving you a sense of worth, like the addict, like the drug pusher does to the addict. It takes all his money away. And the more he gives, rises to the occasion of his need, pain of being further and further away from the purpose for which he was born. And so the anxiety is then he rises like the devil, acting through him and feeds. It gives him a sense of worth. It elevates a sense of worth, which is a lie. It's death. Death comes from lying and believing something that's not true. Hungering and thirsting after it. Not hungry, thirsting after righteousness, but to feel right, to feel good. It's, you can't live like that. You will give up your life. You'll be a slave to everything. You choose it, food, drugs, then we get to other diseases. Let's stay with this one. So you have another dark side that's made a home in you. And what's happening is the dark side has a different spiritual effect on your blood, on your chemistry, on your immune system. If you have a cell, whatever cells, white cells, I imagine, I am not, it doesn't matter how sophisticated I might be with the names of cells, you know, that sort of thing. And there's stem cells and all the rest. It's quite magical. But there are cells that use, that will attack all every kind of adversary and adapt to chemically overcoming the chemistry of the invading bacteria. But if you are drained of energy, if you're drained of, and your mind is negative, then that despair falls over the rest of your body, and your cells are not as strong as they were before. So instead of the cells eating or devouring, the dangerous cell, the enemy, it then becomes stronger. The enemy cell becomes stronger, and instead of eating it, converts that by eating it, by devouring it, because there's a war between the two cells, and they're both chemicals. They have chemical protrusions. And so they poison each other. They do something similar to that. So what happens is, it happens the same with the cell as it does with you. If you're not strong enough to deal with temptation, then you give yourself to it and you become a slave of serving it rather than it serving you. Correct? If you are bold and people tempt you, then you become strong and they become weak for trying. And the more they try, the stronger you get, because you have something within you that understands that your what sin is to take on the identity of the other force and die to it and be loyal to it to the day you die. Looking for doctors, looking for psychiatrists, looking for love in all the wrong places. So I'm saying to you that the cells have changed sides. They are now are emboldened. You embolden your enemy by appeasing, don't you? It's called warfare. You're going to die that way. You're going to die from many diseases, and one of them is cancer. And so what happens is exactly what's happening to you. You giving your life to other people and being appeasing them and giving and giving and thinking that's love. And the enemy is laughing up his sleeve. Just using that one piece of information, you can see that the chemistry of your body is now ruled by the dark side of the force. It represents that. And there's a spirit in there. And that spirit, that stem cell or whatever that is, will now devour and multiply from the good cells. Let's call them good cells. And multiply. And the more upset you get, the more you struggle with yourself, the more you give into it. Just like if you struggle with a person and they've hurt your feelings and you want to stand up and you get angry with them, then you're going to be angry with them inside yourself and not ever show it to that person. But you're still giving up your life to that person and doing as you're told for what you call peace. There's no peace. Is there any psychiatrist listening to me? I say to you, you can take a cancer cell and put it in a petri dish, and you can wait 10 years and you will have something that weighs a ton. It doesn't die. What's it trying to tell you? There's a part in this place in this world or beyond this world that you won't die. Just like that cell multiplies and multiplies. The more you feed it, the more it multiplies, but it doesn't do anything except make a big blobber. A big blob of nothing. You can weigh a ton. And then some. So you have to understand, it's a spiritual thing. And there's nothing can save you except your Creator. Except you see how weak you are. How much of an appeaser you are. How much you give up to another person. Because you're giving up something of you. You're giving up your God and looking for something to assuage your anxiety and fears from other people, chemistry, anything. But really it's the people thing. Really it's the people thing. You'll die from your wife. You'll die from your husband. And she or he will kill you. And they won't know it. And she'll sit by your gravestone crying and then die as well. Because one of the chief things that we learn about people have cancer is their loved one died, but they killed them. And then they mourn for that loved one, and the mourning becomes negative, and then she dies from the same disease. She got nothing to feed on. She has to feed on herself. See? Oh, well, I'm not sure you can grasp this. Especially if you have cancer. You can't think of yourself. You've got so many people helping you and loving you. And giving themselves to you. You've got to be careful of that when you come into the room of a cancer patient. You have to be pretty well armed. Not be too sympathetic. They'll stay alive and take your life force. Well, what do you think, huh? Did I just make a good argument for your way of life? The problem with contemporary, these are my afterthoughts. The problem with contemporary psychology is that it's godless. And for this reason alone, they'll never find the key to the mystery of solving any emotional-based problem, which are 98%, 95%. Secular psychologists and researchers have the notion that the brain of a man reigns supreme. It does not. The brain is a monkey brain. And unless it's subject to a spirit within, not the spirit outside that tempts you and intimidates you and makes you angry and seduces you. But if you could find, if you could be still and know this, hear me? If you can just be still, close your eyes. Close your eyes if you just want to. Let me just play with you just a little bit. Would you mind? Everybody close their eyes. I'm not going to, listen, you just listen to me talk, please. I'm not going to hurt you. I want to help you. That's what the devil would say, at least. But listen to my understanding of it. Look what I'm saying, there's a dark force. And that dark force inside me, who doesn't like me. And because it makes you think I'm some kind of charlatan. But if you believe that, you'll die quicker. I won't miss you. But I know what I'm talking about. He is speaking through me. He gives me this information, nice and simple. It's not complicated. I'm asking a question, with your eyes closed. Are you giving in to someone? Or is someone dead? Are you still giving in to them? You're still worrying about them and raising up their protoplasm in your head and memories? And cursing them or loving them in your head? Because they can do it from the grave. You'll be in the grave with them. You're not careful. You've got to be careful how you're dealing with a cancer patient. Because that's the evidence of his life. You don't give him any sympathy. Because all you do is embolden what's wrong with him. But then you can't be mean to him. And angry with him because that will make him sick. It can make him angry at you for being angry, having cancer. So you can't help. What you need is what I have to share with you. I have authority. I'm not the authority. He has me. And if I ask you, do you have authority? Do you have a will? You'll say, of course I have a will. And if you ask me about the same question, I say the will has me. And you don't see the will has you, and that's a dark side. The light side gives me to realize that he is my will on earth as it is in heaven. And I love this. It's so simple. These words come to you. I haven't written down anything. I've got it up on the screen if I want to read it. But I like it to come fresh, even though it's not as, you know, perfectly pronounced. So thank you very much. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Yes, secular psychiatrists and researchers, as I said, have the notion that the brain remains supreme and the intellect is some kind of godlike power to heal. It doesn't. It does, but it needs an intuition. It needs a source. Your mind can keep you well, but what keeps your mind well? I wrote a book, How Your Mind Keep You Well. You can get a copy of it. And it's changed. It's called, you know, Be Still and Know. And, or Cure Stress. We keep changing the covers in the hope that people will buy them from the cover. But you use any one of those names, everybody in my office will know about that. But you see, researchers think the notion of the brain reigns supreme. It's nothing more than a monkey brain. You stupid person. It's monkey brain. It's not different. It responds to the external world. It doesn't have an internal world. It doesn't have intuition. Intuition. Do you know what intuition is? It's not outtuition, is it? How do you think I know what I know? I don't have a degree and never went to school. I went to school and never learned a damn thing. Because it was a damn school. It wasn't a real school. I don't know many real schools. I tried to make one myself. It didn't work because I didn't pay too much attention to it. I was too busy being on the radio and doing other things. I'll do something about that soon, too. It's a beautiful school. It's just not run like it should be. All right, so that's the first time I've said that, but we're going to fix that if we can. All right, now, let me see. So, suppose that it were possible to use as guided imagery to visualize bad cells overcoming good ones. You'd have to spend the rest of your life preoccupied. This doesn't make any sense. Your mind should be on automatic pilot. I mean, I'm speaking to you. There's thousands of things going on at one time as I'm speaking to you. Thousands. My mind, my reading, my seeing, all the machinery, all working in concert. And in concert with intuitive forces, which are, let me say it. In other words, the world outside is stress. The realm of the animals is motivated by stress. Survival of the fittest is the overcoming of the stress. Run, fight, eat or be eaten. Stress. Now, when you fall, when the world around you come into the world around you, the culture, and people come at you as a child, you have a clear brain. You're not programmed. The cow, when it's the calf, when it's born, it's programmed. It has very little room to learn. Every animal has just a little room to learn, just a little bit, but it's programmed from the day it's born. If you want a special kind of dog, an Alsatian, I don't know what it is. Each one of them have a peculiarity of behavior, which is valuable to you. You want something that loves you? You want something that knows how to gather the sheep and not have to teach him a whole lot, but just know that you're the master of him and he looks to approve of his skills that he's born with? Okay, so you're not born with skills. You're born with potential, everything, including eternal life. You don't want to use that life, glorifying yourself. All right, we're going to go to Arlene in Arizona. We're changing the subject, but still, it's better than nothing. Arlene, how are you doing?
Hi there.
Can you speak up a little bit, please? Thank you. Hello. Can you? I'm telling her to speak up right now. She doesn't hear it.
Can you hear me now?
Just barely. So let's go ahead with it.
Just barely.
Yes. So you have a big problem.
I'll just talk. If it's in a bad connection, then David can just disconnect.
No, you go ahead. I got it. I will work with it.
Okay. Well, a couple of days ago, I broke one bone in my right foot.
Yes.
I was walking through a parking lot, and I hit a low spot, and I rolled my foot, and I broke a bone.
Oh, dear.
So I'm in a cast, and it's my right foot. So
yes.
That means I can't drive a car or do the things I normally would do, and steps and all that are quite a problem. So I'm kind of housebound for the next 6 weeks.
Okay.
And my husband is retired, and I'm an artist, and I also do a lot of landscaping and yard work and things like that. I just like being outside. But I think I think I broke, that there was a purpose, a spiritual purpose to me breaking a bone in my foot, because it's keeping me in the house and having to watch my relationship and my reaction.
Well, jolly good show.
My husband.
I like what I hear.
All right.
I like that. Yes, there is a purpose.
There's no other reason for it to have happened, but it just throws us together. And I actually have become quite independent in the past several years that I've been meditating. I was the appeaser that fed myself constantly to my husband or anyone else, but
yes,
I am not that person anymore.
All right. And so what are you calling for now? I think you should understand. You should see this as an opportunity to not be so focused on your artists and your work, but now as a rest and a healing period.
Yes.
Not just for the body, but for the spirit to catch up with you. You tend to be a bit strongly involved with your work.
I can be, but I have so much energy and so many...
Yeah, you got the wrong kind of energy if you got too much energy.
It's just because I see it, and it motivates me to do it.
I know, you see, you're, but it's in control of you. What you're really telling me is very clear. You say, I've got lots of energy. Well, so have I, but I don't feel it. I can sit on this program 24 hours a day and you'd be just fine. You say, I'm an old man, but I can do all these things.
Yeah.
See, but I don't feel energy. I don't feel the lack of energy. I don't feel any energy. Whatever it is, it's working, and it's working all the time, but I don't know where the energy is coming from. I kind of know, but I can't see where it is. It's coming from, but it's coming from there. And intuitively, intuition means that the energy coming through me is 180%. No, what is half of 360?
Yes, that's it. That's the right math.
It is completely opposite to the stress energy that you're running on. So when you feel energy, it's the wrong energy. When you feel no energy...
Maybe I didn't describe it correctly. Like to take our dog for a walk. It's just so renewing to go out and see the subtle changes each day when I go, or to rake the yard and see what's coming up.
All right.
I just find that so beautiful and centering.
Hold it. What happened if you suddenly were put in a jail? For no reason, because the country. And this is, for instance, so things turn bad against you. You got a communist country; they pick you up and put you in jail.
Yes.
And maybe you don't know how long you're going to be there. How are you going to deal with that if you depend upon being free and seeing the flowers and the bleep trees and the bees?
Yes.
I say that you got to be prepared. No, you have to be prepared for that. And this is your opportunity to not get upset with the fact that you got a broken bone in your foot and you can't
Correct.
Do all that. You need to be patient and find, and just take some time, and let time not be accompanied by being frustrated and thinking you're missing something. You'd be missing something if you didn't deal with it properly. Listen, you can't have it going good for you all the time. Because it's not...
I understand.
See?
I see this also because I'm having to be indoors. I can't go up and down steps.
So what?
I need to ask for my husband's help to do...
So what? Well, what's the big problem?
Because I have crutches in my hands.
Listen to you.
It's helping me to... be more watchful of myself.
Yes. Humility. Humility. Thank you.
Watch for reactions or to not be full of myself, to not ask for help when I need help.
Well, you're making it actually too complicated. I'm trying to make it simple.
All right.
It is trials and tribulations. You have tribulation in your life for the trying of your how have they said that? I had a Christian parable, but I forgot it. But you need trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
You have to. You need that. You can't have it going for you all the time, because otherwise you become nothing. If everything was perfect, you'd be nothing, because you had nothing to show how courageousness. You have no something to prove that you're coming from a good place. Trials and tribulations will come. And this is just a little tiny one, giving you an opportunity to cool your jets and look at the energy that you've been running on as the wrong kind of energy. Because if you feel the energy, it's the wrong kind. I never feel energy. It's always there. The gas tank is always full.
Yeah.
See?
It's almost limitless.
That's right. So it's always there, and driving is easy. And even the trials and tribulations I go through, it's, if I don't succeed, if everything is taken away from me, which is, has happened several times, everything, or nearly everything, see, and starting all over again. And we're doing that again. So trials and tribulations are important for your...
I'm not fighting it. I'm not mad at myself for the situation.
Okay. That's good.
I'm okay with it.
Why are you calling
then?
When
I fell on the ground, I wasn't mad.
But why did you call if that's the case? You needed to call because I need to show you something.
I have a greater understanding that this could be more of a spiritual time for me to watch myself and my reaction to my husband.
That's right. Yes, because you find yourself sort of like in a helpless condition. Let people help you. Let them love you. Let them give them, that's their turn to serve you with love. So where are we? Are we finished or what?
I think so, and the signal's so bad, I'm having a hard time catching all the words.
I know, we didn't have a very good connection, did we?
That's all right. But your message is always clear. I can fill in the blanks.
You could hear most of it, couldn't you?
Most of it, yes.
Yes, I know, she could hear most of it, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Try to call me on a different phone, maybe on Monday.
Okay.
Would you?
All right.
All right. You're welcome. All right. Let's see now. Well, we've got just a little while. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me see what I can... I'm in the middle of something here. Let's see. I have an article here. It's called... The Psychology of Cancer. And I don't like reading. But since I've only just got a little while here, I'd like to do a little bit of reading. Let me see. No, the problem of contemporary psychology is godless. Yes, we know that. There's three components to your identity. There is the body, the brain, and the spirit. There it is. Which is the consciousness or your soul. The three components. There's your body, the brain, and the spirit that governs the brain, that governs the body. And that, if you have that in order, you're a whole person. If you don't have it, it's backwards. You have the world affecting your flesh with reaction to it, and therefore it responds, and then you lose your connection to your creator. because it overcomes. If you allow yourself to become upset, you come into a world which is very upsetting and inhuman and deleterious, if that's a good word. You come into the world of stress and temptation. It's ugly. And especially when it's your parents, which it mostly is. Sorry, because they're parents. So they're standing in the shoes of their parents because it goes through the generations. You're only going to play two parts. You're only going to play two parts under those conditions. And the conditions are that you react to the world around you. Everything's, excuse the expression, bass-ackwards. I'm not your typical preacher, you see. So it's upside down. So the authority comes from stress. That's what it is. The spoken word, you know, the sly temptations. See, come here, little boy, for your lollipop. See, that could be in many ways expressed differently. Temptation with sex and things like that. All she has to do is wiggle her torso. And then you're gone. And it's becoming nothing. Everybody gets into women are nothings. And women know that the prostitutes get a certain special pleasure out of you little creeps, you know, using her. And she looks at you and knows how she's making you degenerate. She's actually having pleasure making you a degenerate, making you feel better, just like the pusher with drugs. He enjoys, he got a good shot, had a lot of money then, see. So the person gives him the drugs and he feels like he's being served. And he immediately can't get it into his veins fast enough. And he's probably got a girlfriend or some sucker with him. That's what it is. It's variations of the same thing, of sucking your life out. And it results in many different diseases. But the two deadly ones that have many variations to them, and one goes to the other, is diabetes and cancer. And diabetes flowing into cancer. Okay. And other things. So you've got lots of other ways of dying. But the chief death, the chief reason for death is threefold. It is cancer and diabetes. And then you have the other one, which is bad diagnosis. Yeah, but heart failure. But heart failure comes into those, into stresses and things like that. Because lots of people die from stress. It's true. But the main ones, heart failure, of course, but heart failure is part of the road. There's all kinds of different things mixed up together. So if you cure one, you let the person live longer. And so when stress catches you up, and if stress is sufficient enough and you get mad enough before you can get the disease aspect, it takes a while to get to each one of those. It takes a while of eating so much and all the wrong foods to have diabetes and then the symptoms of it. So on the way, if you have severe stress and anxiety, and that you had to choose, you're damned if you get it and damned if you don't, and you're trying hard as you can, you get frustrated and being angry with yourself, bang, heart attack. That's it. You get that particular thing on your way there. You start with aspirins. Let's see, you start with aspirins. What's it, the name of the, I wish I could remember the name of the aspirin that was advertised on television. And so, but it'll come to me when I don't need it. You know how that is. But they had a picture. Excedrin, yes. So you got two examples I saw. One, the upset mother with the kids, you know, upset, and taking two Advils. Is that what it is? Did you say, David? Are you there? Was it Advil? Excedrin. Okay. So it's Excedrin headache. It's a headache, but it's not an Excedrin headache. But she takes that to relieve the headache, which is caused by the stress of dealing with her kids or whatever it is she's busy with and she can't doesn't have enough time. You know how that is. So that causes you to have a headache. But if you take two aspirins as the solution, you're making a huge mistake. A very huge mistake. Because you're not dealing with the problem of being irritable and being impatient with your kids. And you're being upset by them, and then you feel guilty. And then you try being nice if you're the teacher in the school. And this is the Excedrin one, isn't that right? So it's, well, the aspirins do the same thing. Doesn't matter the name of it, but it remained in my mind as a, and so it came to my mind to talk it to you about it, so you understand that when you take the two aspirins, then it becomes four, then it becomes eight, or then you've got to go and something more give you more relief. You're on your way to death just from that. Now, the fact that you need aspirin is good for you. See, I'm 88. Doctor says take aspirin. Why? My blood pressure is 106 over 60 and a heartbeat of 50 to 60. Why do I need that? I don't need it. I do take an Tylenol just every now and then to make sure my heartbeat doesn't go too far. But I check everything every day. And so I don't need the least of any help from medicine, the least. Not the most. Everything seems to work. I grew new. God gave me new arteries, brand new ones. Old ones didn't work. The bypass fails. How does that happen? Well, how does it happen? I'll tell you. They put pigs on a treadmill. And they have a whole bunch of pigs that have their arteries tied and things like that. And the ones they put on a treadmill, the ones on the treadmill grew new arteries. That's it. Now, how did I discover that? Well, I didn't. Here's my story. I started Talk Radio Network in a humble way, and I didn't know how to deal with it, and I had a manager that wasn't friendly. But anyway, when I had my heart operation, he gave me a treadmill. I wouldn't have used a treadmill because I would never have thought of it. But right there was the cure of my problem, the treadmill. And I did it, and I grew new arteries. I come to find out that pigs can do the same thing, but you pigs are too poop to pop, so you... All right. I'm just kidding with you. I don't mean to offend you. But when I say you're too poop to pop, it means you drink... Yes. So anyway, support my program, please. Thank you. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. That's it. And then the phone number is 800-877-3227. The website is fhu.com, Foundation of Human Understanding. Support my work, would you please? God bless. Have a good evening. Talk to you on Monday.